blood that stains from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within. From the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea, it is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory.
He made me whole and God is so faithful to our prayers, and God gave me this study early last year, and I started praying in September that God would give me an opportunity to teach this message tonight. And it didn't come at the time that I wanted it. It didn't come at the place I thought it would be coming, but He has prepared it for you all tonight. So is all I can do is pray that I will be obedient. That's been my prayer for the last 6 weeks or so since Leah called me, is that God moved me out of the way and you step in the front.
Amen.
And because if we don't worry about what we say or what we do, and we just let God take over, we can have a mighty time with the Lord. And I hope that that's what we can have tonight. I've already felt the Spirit of God here tonight. Beautiful, beautiful singing. You all have amazing voices. And I thank God it's all under the blood. You know, and that song just wasn't by coincidence. So, just to give you a little bit of, a tiny bit about this message. Has anybody been kind of thinking about what in the world this table says in the middle for with this pretty cake on it? I can't wait to bite into it. It's a homemade strawberry cake. but anyways, I did a Bible study on this over a six week period, and I got so much, it changed my life. It completely changed my life. And I prayed, God, please send the right audience so that their life can be changed. You know, we all go to church and we sit and somebody beside of you might say, well, I didn't really get anything out of the preacher's message today. And somebody else says, well, man, he said this and stepped all over my feet. And then somebody else said they took this away. I'm coming to you tonight in a very, very familiar scripture, but it's a very familiar scripture for funerals. Psalms 23. You have heard probably very few messages from the pulpit, not in a mortuary or not over a casket, that's been preached on Psalms 23. It's one of the most recognized scriptures in the Bible and across history for funerals. I've seen Psalms 23 more on the little cards you get at the funeral from the person dying than you have ever had. And I always thought, what in the world are you doing here with this funeral message? But there were some things that God gave me that I had never even recognized in the scripture. And probably it's the truth, and we could all quote it here tonight. But I think you're going to find some things in the scripture, I hope, that maybe you've overlooked. Maybe you've not looked at it in this way. So I like to live Psalms 23 and not have it just at my desk. Now when I go to a funeral, there's a whole new meaning for Psalms 23 for me in my life. And I hope that after tonight, you have that meaning in your life, because there are some nuggets in there that can change you forever. And they talked a little bit, or saying a little bit about, it's under the blood, and about what that song, and trust me, I can't sing, but about what the words in that song, you know, the devil wants more than anything to tell us we're nothing, that we are nobody, that we have done so much that we could never be forgiven for all we've done. I mean, I've been saved since I was 9 years old, but I sure have done a whole lot even as a Christian, and thank God for the blood, because, you know, the debt was paid for me, but the devil, if he can get a hold of us, he can take us to some dark places, some very dark places. And so tonight, I think about Leah said, well, we're going to have this on, you know, spring and growth and flowers and all of that. Well, hopefully tonight, with God's help, you're going to grow in your, you're going to grow your garden in your mind tonight. And so this table right now, I'm not going to explain it to you yet. I'm going to wait till about midway, and I'm going to let you figure it out. How does that sound? I think it's going to be pretty easy to figure out. But we're going to talk about this table as we do the lesson tonight. Now, I will try my best not to get back to Costco on you all. Okay? But because if we do, Leah said, Sherry, how long are you going to have? And I thought she was saying, well, I'm like, how much do I get? I'm giving y'all about 15 hours worth of teaching or studying in 45 minutes. But anyway, I get excited when I talk about Jesus. I get excited when God starts to move. And, you know, God could have been anywhere tonight. And I know that the preacher I heard in Leah does not like for things to not go the way they were supposed to. She just, Lord, the preacher's invited all these churches, and we don't even have an RSVP. Y'all that know her, that doesn't go. She needs the exact down to how many forks to have out. And the fact that there's another plate of chicken back there is not going to go over well with her. Because she planned ahead, and there's so much. But anyway, what was I saying about that? Oh, well. Anyway, but when God moves, I get excited. But we're going to start here in Psalms 23. It says, and I do read out the King James, so for those of you who read the same, but the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We are going to be studying tonight on these next two verses, so please pay close attention here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now that's a little funeral and a lot. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for joining us here tonight, Lord. I thank you for the spirit that I feel, Lord, as I stand here and try to get what you've given me, God. I pray that you be with each lady that's here, Lord. I pray that you bless their hearts. They could have been anywhere tonight, God, but you chose for them to be here. You appointed that, Lord. And I pray that you'll use this message, God, and that we will go out and shine our light to a lost and dying world, Lord, and not give in to the devil, Lord, but to be a light for you. Thank you for all you do for us and all these things I ask. Amen. So, tonight, let's see here. Get started here. See, I'd already done the first page and a half, and I had looked at the notes when I'm standing over there. Okay, so let's talk for just a few minutes about that even though faith. As you see here, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I've been over. Yea, though. I'm glad that even though faith. Yea, though. What that faith really is, what that faith does. You know, even though life's hard, we discover that there's a foundation for not letting the enemy win. Unwavering faith doesn't mean that the devil isn't around. It doesn't mean that life's not going to be hard and unfair. But it means that you're a winner either way because we're God.
Amen.
And this right here is going to be part of my 51-year-old life the whole night. So just get ready. With this kind of faith, when pressures mount, the faith won't deflate. We must allow Jesus to shepherd us during this time. We don't always see with discernment. I mean, we do not always see with discernment. You know, the devil does not come with horns and blood and all bad things. The devil comes a lot of times in beauty. Because the devil wants you to see something better that's going to get your attention. A lot of times we think, well, we can escape it. We just won't allow it. The devil makes things look so good sometimes. And we've got to be able to discern that. The good shepherd carries the staff to use when we need to be pulled back to safety. Even though faith, when the devil surrounds us, God's prepared a table. And if you think about the table, it says, thou preparest a table with our enemies around it. This table tonight is set up for me, for you, and for God. The devil can't sit at this table unless we allow him to sit at this table. Life can't come into this table unless we allow life to come to this table. Okay? This table was not designed for me and my sister. This table was not designed for me and my husband. This table was not designed for you and your baby. This table was designed for you and God, and you and God only. You know, a lot of times we talk, we can't hear God. We don't know if God's talking to us. We don't know what's going on because we're not sitting at the table spending any time with God. You know, sometimes God just wants us to sit down. Just sit down. And just you and Him and the beauty that He has at that table. That's what He wants. You know, a lot of times in life, there's a lot of things that come to our mind. And this table is a representation of your mind. Okay? God's prepared this table for me and Him, for you and Him, in the presence of His, of our enemy. Okay? Our mind is the table. And any thought can go into your mind. Would you agree? You can't control something. You see something and that thought jumps in. Or, you know, you see a wreck. What's your immediate thought? Oh, God, I hope it's not one of my kids or my husband or somebody I know or this or that. You get a call from the doctor. You immediately go to, I hope it's not cancer. This past week, I was doing a luncheon at work. I work in healthcare. And I went to a doctor's office. And this isn't part of my lesson that God's given to me, but I go to this doctor's office and we prepare this lunch and it's set up like this and all these people are coming in and something just don't feel right in my soul. It just didn't feel right. I was burdened for a few minutes and I was like, what in the world is this, God? I was ready to give my big spiel about why these people needed to use our company and this and that. And a nurse walked in and looked like she'd been crying. And she said, I'm so sorry the doctor's not going to be able to be in here today. We just sent a lady in the hospital. It was out in no man's land where I was. And the hospital's right behind the doctor's office. And they said, lady's 32 weeks and 5 days pregnant and we can't get a heartbeat. And we just sent the mama up to the hospital to see if they can get it. But it's a little teeny old hospital. They were just going up there to do that. And then they sent her, they said, we sent your results back down to the doctor's office. She needs to go down there. And as that mama screamed out in that room that she had lost her baby, her husband couldn't comfort her. That doctor couldn't comfort her. Nobody. And you think about it. 32 weeks and 5 days, you are this close to everything being okay. This close. Nobody could give her anything to help her, but only through God. And I started praying, God, please comfort her. Nobody has the word. That doctor can't say anything. That nurse can't say anything. Nobody can say anything to help her, but God, comfort her. There is going to be hard times in life. Just because the victory is won on the cross, doesn't mean the battle's not going to keep going on. Yeah. The battle's going to continue every day. As long as we live, we are going to face battles every day. We're going to get the diagnosis. We're going to have divorce. We're going to have financial problems. We're going to have health problems. We're going to have all these things in the world that are going, the devil is going to throw at us. The only thing we have is that even though faith and being with God, sometimes we go to people and we try to get answers to things and we try to get help and we can't find the answer. But I'm going to tell you something. There have been many, many times, especially since I've learned more about this, I had to sit down at a table and I look at all the beauty. I don't see all the devil's got going on, but I say, God, thank you for my children. God, thank you for my husband. God, thank you that my mom has taught me how to pray and showed me Jesus. God, thank you for my church. God, thank you for my job. God, thank you for your love. God, thank you for your grace. Oh, and God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness. When you start focusing on God and the characters of God and what God is doing, the diagnosis fades away. The relationships fade away. The financial situation fades away. How are you going to get through this storm? How are you going to get through that storm? It all fades away when you start sitting, spending time with God at the table. Just you and Him. Everything else fades away. You go to a restaurant, and I'm going to use Texas Roadhouse for an example. I can't stand to go to that restaurant because I can't hear myself think. And every time I get ready to go, But sometimes you go to a restaurant, and whoever you're with, you get in a real good conversation. And all the noise goes away around you, don't it? And you get real good in that conversation. And it feels good. And you forget everything around you. That's what a relationship with God is supposed to be like. Sometimes we don't have what we need because we've not been sitting at a table. We've not been sitting, spending time with Him. And this table being our mind, you know, we can't stop what enters in our mind, but we sure can stop how long we entertain it.
Amen.
And you know, the devil wants nothing more than us to entertain his lies and to entertain all the things that he's trying to do to take us away from God. Because guess what? Is there anybody in here that's a worry wart at all? Anybody? Does anybody worry me? Right, sure. But, you know what? Those thoughts become worries. Those worries take over your mind. And you can take over your life. Because you can't think of anything but what the devil's filled your mind with. So you have to be very careful to hold these thoughts captive. And the only way you can hold them captive is to know whether the thoughts are from God or not. And the only way you know that the thoughts are from God or not to have a relationship with Him. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you something. You can have a ministry. I'm going to use these ladies for a minute. I hope you don't care, but you can have a ministry of singing your whole life, and you can have the most beautiful voice in the world, and you can be a decorator, and you can work in food banks, and you can help with, you know, the youth. You can do all these things. But you've got to have a relationship to know that when you get up there to do it, that God's going to be up there with you, that people can feel the Holy Spirit off of you.
Amen.
And God will start moving. We have been so messed up. Our works and our ministries, they're not what's most important. God just wants us to sit down at the table with Him and spend some time with Him. And the only way that we can do that is to get all these other things out of our mind so we can spend time with God. And when I think about spending time with God and getting these things out of our mind, you know, I think about a few things here. It all starts on what our focus is. If we focus on the enemy. Therefore, we focus on the problem or we focus on the trial, then we will eventually let that lead us, let that destroy us, let that take over. Sometimes we have to learn how to keep that table just for two. And sometimes learning how to keep the table for two is making an adjustment. We've got to make an adjustment with our mind. You need to ask yourself, is this thought from God? Close the door to the unwanted thoughts. What's one of the best ways that you get the devil to flee from you? In the name of Jesus, right? Well, let me tell you something. Sometimes the devil needs to hear us. We don't need this to be in our mind thinking, okay, devil, you know, I've had enough today. He needs to hear, Satan, get behind me in the name of Jesus. He needs to hear the words out loud. I'm not kidding you. God is my witness. When I started studying this, there have been many times that I will be standing in my bathroom mirror. I will be in my car. I will get off of a conference call. I will start my day, and the devil is all around me, and I'll say, devil, get behind me in the name of Jesus, and immediately he flees. But it took me saying it. Mm-hmm. It took me telling him, get away from me in the name of Jesus. So sometimes he needs to hear it. We don't need to trust him. He needs to hear it. When the devil tells you that you're not smart enough, strong enough, you've done too much, you aren't capable, lock eyes with the king. Lock eyes with the king. Turn your attention off the devil and what you can't do.
Yeah.
And turn your attention on what God is doing.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? You know how you say sometimes, I know I've heard it my whole life. If you're having it rough, just look around. You're going to find somebody worse off than you are. Everybody heard that, right?
Yeah.
That's really true, though, if you think about it. I mean, you go to a nursing home or somewhere and you go try to be a blessing to somebody and you walk out and you're the one that's been blessed. Or you, whatever it is you do, you think you're going and doing something and to be blessed or to bless somebody, and you come back and, man, you are so more blessed. You can't even think if that person got blessed or not. You just know you were blessed. So when we turn our attention on what God would have us to do, those thoughts that the devil puts in our heads, they have no place to root. They have no foundation. They have no place to go but to be gone. So, you have to take your thoughts captive. How many know what a DJ does? What does a DJ do? Plays music. He controls the playlist, doesn't he? Well, let's be the DJ of our thoughts. Let's control the playlist. Let's control whether we're listening to the devil or we're listening to God. We can turn it off. We just say it in the name of Jesus. But you got to make adjustments and put your focus on what God wants you to focus on. You might say, well, you know, that's all nice and great, but how am I really going to do that when life is hard right now? Get you a piece of paper and write down all your blessings. Write down all the things that God has done. Write down all the things God is doing. Write down all the promises that God's going to do. You know? Then you're going to make you take your mind off of the things that aren't going to do. And I know that's easier said than done, because in reality, the problem might still be there. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:13, I think it's the scripture, but basically, a lot of people quote this scripture wrong, and they say, well, God's never going to lay more on you than you can handle. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says that he's going to make a way of escape. But how do you escape it? You've got to get this right here off of it, too. That problem, that does not mean that problem's going to go away. That he's going to help you bear it, and he's going to make a way to escape it. You might escape it just for a few minutes. There might be somebody here tonight that your life is in literal turmoil. Because I'll tell you, y'all wouldn't be sitting here tonight if you had it every single bit together and didn't want to know more about Jesus. You didn't just come to Texas Roadhouse. Or the time. Or the gift. We didn't just come for that. We came searching for something. And so we've got to turn our mind in the right direction. And we've got to spend time with God. But so we're going to take those thoughts captive, not letting those of the enemy take root. We have to change the way we think. You know, there are seeds, which are thoughts. They're scattered in your mind every moment of every day. But you've got to identify what the lies are and hold them hostage. You've got to identify. And then when you hold them hostage, you take them captive, you can change your focus because you changed your mindset. Because you sat down at the table with God. We must believe that we can live in victory. As I said earlier, the victory is won. But this world's hard. These battles are hard. And you know what? My problem might not be the same as your problem or your problem or your problem. But every single person in here has things that the devil just eats at you about. And some of them might be very minimal to some people. And it is big to you. Some of them might be mentally, maybe, you know, let's just use worry for an example. That you worry about stuff all the time and we lack faith and believing and knowing that God's going to take care of whatever it is. Some of us might be sitting here not with a physical ailment. Or we might be, you know, not even know if we've got enough gas to get home in our car. Or maybe we're going to go home and we don't know what we're going to walk into when we get home. Maybe somebody here has, you know, a child that's out in the world that you're continuing to pray for that's not our grandchildren, that their life's not on the right track. It's hard, but we got to be the light, and we got to plant the right things in our mind and focus on the things that God wants us to focus on so that the devil doesn't win the battle over our mind. Because once he gets in our mind and takes root, he's got us. So we have control. God's given us control of this. We can turn it around. The devil wants to define us by all we've done wrong. That song. He wants to define us for every mistake we've ever done. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful. But let me tell you, this chair falls short every day. Every single day. When my husband, and I told my sister this years ago, when my husband was called to preach, when I was a little girl, I can remember thinking, Lord, I'd love to marry a preacher one day. I'd love to marry a preacher. Well, I didn't marry a preacher. But when I met him, he was way off path with God. But he rededicated his life. He got his life right. He became an ordained deacon. Years later, he became a preacher. He then became a pastor. And I'm going to tell you something. You're a preacher of God, aren't you? Pastor's wife and a pastor's wife's wife is a very lonely place sometimes. It is an extremely lonely place. There are things that, and I think she's going to be your husband's a preacher too, right? There are things that our husband cannot tell us. There are feelings that they have and responsibilities they take on that we are no longer their number one. It is between them and God. And they go to God to work it out. There is a guard up. You have a guard because they're in a different place. And then it's being a preacher's life. Everybody looks at you and we're waiting on you to see what you're going to stumble up and do. If it might be in the church, it might not be in the church, but somewhere. Somebody's going to say, oh Lord, I said a cuss word, and there's a preacher's wife there. I mean, we can't go out to dinner with her because if I say something bad, she's going to, you know, she's going to judge me, or she's going to do this, or she's going to do that, or whatever the case is. But when I say that though, there's a lot of things in life that can only be between you and God. And only be between me and God. And it all starts with a relationship with Him. And I'm telling you right now, if we have that even though faith that we can get through every single thing, there is nothing we can't get through without that God can't get us through. Nothing.
Amen.
Not one thing in our life. But when we look into this, we're all given grace. Man, unmerited favor. When I look at all the things that I've done wrong, I thank God for Jesus because I'd have probably been somebody in the Old Testament that I've been one of them got stoned to death just for opening my mouth because I'm a, well, I don't talk as much as Lisa. I don't talk as much as Jenny, I think. I'm about third in line.
That would be
Harold. Yeah. But I'm about third in line, okay? But if, you know, if you think about all the things that we do, and God can't see me, God sees the blood.
Amen.
God sees, when God sees me, He sees Jesus Christ. He sees Jesus' blood. So when the devil's saying, you're not worth it, man, you just falling down again once you go to the altar 5 more times and pick back up and mess up again. When he's telling us all these things, and people are telling us that we can't do it or we don't need to do it or we're not worthy enough. No, we're not worthy enough. But praise God for the blood.
Amen.
Praise God that the blood allowed us to be able to get right back up and move on. It's not sometimes what we do, but it's how we get through. Are we giving God the glory on the other side? How do people see us go through this? You know? And a lot of that is what's controlling your mind? Who's sitting at your table? That right there is how people are going to see it. So I wanted to read, Lord, I've just jumped everywhere. I've even messed up half these notes. I don't even know why I write them half the time. But I want to go over just a couple things, though. I want to go to 2 Corinthians 11:14. And I want to read you a couple things. Actually, 13 and 14. It says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So don't think he's coming to you in the horn. He's going to come to you beautiful and say, oh, you're such a good Christian, and I know the table's for two, but I'd like to have a little piece of cake also. Could you make a little room for me over here? This looks so beautiful. He's going to slide up a chair faster than you can even think. We've got to make sure we stay close. We stay locked with the King. Straight ahead, looking at the King. We've got to make sure that our minds are set in the right place. Focused on God. Another scripture I wanted to tell you real quick is hold on 1 second, let me get to it. 1 John 2:15. And through 17. And it says, first of all, come on the one page here, all of them. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And I got one more here for you. Second Corinthians 10:3-2. And though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now listen to this. For the weapons of the warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to be pulling down a stronghold, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. Scripture says, he tells us, bring the thoughts captive and bring them to God. Tell the devil to flee in the name of Jesus. Focus on what God would have us to focus on, and the devil will flee from us. You know, there in the King James Version Bible, there's 490 times the word forgiveness is mentioned. Now, if forgiveness wasn't all that important, why would it be mentioned 490 times? There's nothing that God wants more than to us to come to Him and just ask for forgiveness, and He's there with open arms to forgive us. We can't do enough to make God walk away from us. Don't let the devil win. Don't let the devil make you think that you're not everything in the sight of God. You know, you're chosen. Sit at the King's table. We didn't have to earn it. We didn't have to work for it. We got chosen. We were chosen to be at the King's table. And I'll read this one last thing to you. Kind of goes along with the thought tonight. Our mind is a garden. Thoughts get in there in many ways. We are the gardener. We control what grows there. Whatever you water and feed will grow. We reap what we sow. Wrap your thoughts around Scripture. Get in the Word. Anybody. And a lot of people, my husband, he says that, you know, Google's the devil or whatever. And I'm like, honey, but there's a lot of good things about a phone. And he's like, the phone's just the devil. Well, it was the devil until one time he forgot his Bible and he needed, he was able to say, KJV on the Google. And it brought up where he was lonely. And then he felt pretty sad that he had been, you know, saying his phone was the devil because he was able to use it for God. But look at some verses that. Look at some scripture at that, you know, that helps to help you to, you know, get through different things. There is so much scripture that you can come up with and dwell on the scripture. I am constantly, my husband knows what I said because I put sticky notes on the back room there. And then the other week he came in on the side of the refrigerator, it said, something like life's a journey. Don't focus so much. Or wait, if they have it, life's a journey. Look to the destination or something. But anyway, life's hard. But I hope tonight that maybe I've given you a little bit of encouragement that don't let the devil win. You are worth so much more than the devil has to offer. every one of the people, every one of you ladies standing here, you've got such a special gift. I don't know anybody's name, hardly, maybe these at this table, but I don't know your name. I don't know your walk. I don't know your struggles, but God does. And God says you're somebody special. And God wants to use you. But He's going to use you when you sit down and you have a relationship with Him. And people say, well, I don't understand Scripture. You know, I don't know where to go. Ask Him where to go. He'll show you. He'll give you things. He'll give you what you need. There's sometimes I just have to sit and pray before I open up my Bible and just say, God, you know, put it where you want it. Because I have no idea where to go. But I challenge you tonight. Take your thoughts captive. If you don't like where your thoughts are, do something about it. If other people can tell that your thoughts are, you know, Lord, what kind of day did you have today? You're in a bad mood, or I guess work was bad, or I guess this, or I guess that, or hateful. Take the thoughts captive. We're not perfect, so we can't take them captive, because we are.
And it's still the blood that stains from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within. From the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea, it is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory.